Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome to Seventh Wave Network and Walking Between the Worlds. Today is a very exciting day as we start the first of a 13-week series dealing with the mysteries of our environment, with the principles governing and underlying all reality. Clarity and perception is our goal, and you are our beloved light family. Welcome to this first segment, and this one is called Changing the Future. While humanity slumbered, the future changed forever as the Earth started to ascend in February 2005. Pulling all of creation with it. Many of the doomsday prophecies have disappeared. Many of the laws upon which our reality has been based have altered. A time of hope is upon us, and a great vision lies before us. For that which has been prophesied in Revelations, speaking of the New Jerusalem, or the city in which the divine will rule and reign, is also in the very near future. How near? It depends on how quickly the major light showers and the way showers, the light bearers of humanity, the ones that are in all likelihood listening to this message, for they are ever seeking for higher truths, obtain these truths, internalize, and live them. The more we do that, the closer the time when heaven truly is upon earth. I have with us today Paul St. John, who is very dear to me. He is our Newport office manager and a great master in his own right. I have the privilege of being surrounded by incredible masters. And I've asked Paul to assist by asking questions that he has compiled of things that he's always wanted to know regarding the changing future. Paul, welcome on the show.
Hi, Amin. Thanks for having me on the show and giving me this opportunity to ask you some questions.
And go right ahead with your first question, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Well, my first question is, basically, is there any cause for concern, as indicated by some of the, or many of the prophetic warnings in connection with the year 2012?
Well, in actual fact, the prophecies that have been given are about 30 years out of date. And there are those who are the doomsday sayers, but they are generally unaware that the Earth and entire cosmos have been ascending out of those predicted futures. And once they were a very real concern, granted, then there are those who refuse to see any problem. And in the past, many have called me negative because I have pointed them out. Being an ostrich with one's head in the sand doesn't work either. I wish to be neither a doomsday sayer nor an ostrich, but what I have seen, as over the past years I've been given the assignment by the Mother Goddess, and Mother Goddess is the one that is the creatress of all life. She is the one that has birthed life, and her first creation is the Father. And so over the Mother Goddess has given me the assignment to be involved with myself and my students, who are the masters in my classes, in changing reality to a more elevated one through her instructions and the power of inner technology. See, if enough major light workers change fear to courage and emotional turbulence to harmoniously pulsing the true frequencies or emotions, which, you know, we've described in The Ring of Truth, one of my books, exterior circumstances change as well. As key players, we've been given the ability to do so. In a nutshell, see the problem, but fix it within.
Can you say any more about how all this relates to 2012 and all the hype?
Excuse me, I did skip that part. In February of 2005, the Earth began an accelerated ascension. That affected life throughout the cosmos. And in our future shows, we will see why the Earth, of all places, this tiny speck on the edge of a Milky Way that's but one of multiple, why it is the important pivot point. Even the largest bridge will pivot as a drawbridge does upon a single fulcrum point. The Earth is that fulcrum point because, as the ancient records point out in the newest book that we have out, which is The Gift of the Unicorns, and the whole second half of it is devoted to the history of the cycles of descension and ascension, as given to me, and I took it down verbatim, by the history keepers that Mother assigned to keep the history of these cycles. But the Earth has affected life throughout the cosmos. Instead of ascending in a predictable, graduated fashion as foretold by Hertzog, for instance, which was very real when he wrote it, I don't know how long ago now, but it's about 30 years or so ago, Earth moved through a membrane into empty space, pulling the cosmos behind her. Time ceased to function in the manner to which we are accustomed. Prophecies became invalid overnight. So, to answer your question about the year 2012, technically, we have long since sped past the year 2012.
Wow, so are all the prophecies of the huge deluges and world wars all gone now? Are they all irrelevant?
Absolutely. Because time has accelerated, more changes that would have taken place over the course of many years are occurring in rapid succession. But no major cataclysms on a global scale are foreseen. You know, there are things that will happen to localized areas. For instance, something happened to a city, and I asked about the city why that would occur, and Mother's answer was, the frequency of that city has become low enough that it technically does not belong on the map of where the Earth now is. So, you know, there's no guarantees that there won't be localized events, and it will seem as though they're speeding up for the reason I've just given. But the global scale catastrophes and cataclysms, no longer.
Well, that's great news. What are some examples of things that actually have been prevented by the rise in Earth's frequency during the ascension?
You know, if only lightworkers could really hear this answer all over. Because all we see is bad news, and if there isn't any, then they'll make it up. And we have no direct knowledge whether any of it is accurate, but the things that have been prevented, they are the unseen. And so the hype is still out there that this is not such a time of hope dawning as I am describing. However, multiple engineered epidemics, major earthquakes in Southern California, Mexico City, Nevada, Iran, riots and racial wars in Los Angeles, and also far more controlling mechanisms planned by those who hope to control humanity through spreading terror will now not be implemented, even those people have ceased to exist.
Wow, that's so wonderful to hear, especially for a lot of people out there who are, like you said, receiving only that information, which seems to paint a very desperate picture.
And unfortunately, the Internet perpetuates that. People spread it from lightworker to lightworker, and so, you know, if anyone wants to actually keep lightworkers in fear, all they have to do is spread major disinformation and get it into the networks.
Right. And my understanding is that there are forces who do manipulate certain information. So let's talk about the few who are behind the scenes who have actually been part of the drive for a global government of light. What about them?
Okay, let's speak about those who have been part of the drive for a global government, But let's not add the piece in there of light.
Because
the point is that their global government they were planning was not one of bringing order to the planet, as they had said. It was one of being in total control.
Oh, I see.
So that many beings on Earth, as well as multiple races throughout the cosmos, that were not sufficiently life-enhancing to exist at higher levels, have simply ceased to be. With every onward shift, more of them just vanished. And those you speak about were among them.
Hmm. So what do you mean by simply cease to be? How can a being exist one moment and not the next?
Let me give you two examples, and then I will explain how material reality is fluid. But let me start by interjecting here two examples.
Okay.
I was plagued by hostile alien beings. I had issue around their adopting a very hostile stance, of course, to the work that Mother had given me to do. They were plaguing my daughter, who's an indigo child, little one that I adopted, and there have been indigo children worldwide that were abducted by these beings because they were raising humanity up. So they were adopted. There was about 300 of them adopted by the Orions, about 100 of the Oriental brilliant children, whatever name they give them out there right now, I don't know. But I found them aboard one of the ships. Those beings have ceased to exist. Mother has returned those souls back into their bodies fully because they took half of them. So they were living like a half life in physicality. They are simply not there, and really I would know because they were a very big pain in the neck to me. They attacked constantly in various ways. They ceased to exist. Let me give another example of how fluid material reality just really is. Last September, Mother gave me the job. There was a major shift for the planet that had to occur. And I was sitting day and night writing for about a week with masters that were handpicked by Mother from my classes that were gathered here. And, the very strange thing happened that week as we were writing out thousands of angel names and sigils and their meanings so that we can call them to open gates between the membranes. Very strange events started to happen. Now we will tell you about them, but first it's time for our commercial break.
Discovering our true nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
To show how material reality is fluid, during the week that we prepared for the raising of the planet, there was such huge work done by the masters from my classes that I've collected here, handpicked by the mother, that in fact, reality changed several times during 1 week. At the beginning of that week, we received a message that one of the people that were there's parents had been killed, and we were told the day before they would be killed. That night there was a car crash. They died in the car crash. We received a very sad message the day from her sister that they had indeed died. We just kept working, our nose to the grindstone. There wasn't much we could do. There was just too much at stake. We had already managed to create visibly to some who were there. The walls of the New Jerusalem were visible to us. It was hovering 40 feet above the house, stretching as far as the eye could see. This city on earth for the Holy Goddess and the Father that is to come. So we didn't want to stop. But as we worked, the names that we had called the day before that we had written became obsolete. We had raised, actually, just from the insights we had. So we had to go back and redo them. They had raised higher. Well, next we receive a phone call from the mother who supposedly had died in the car crash. Oh, by the way, she speaks to her daughter as though she's a friend. This is so-and-so. I'm watching your cat and I'm watering your plants. Just want you to know everything's okay in your apartment for when you come home. Well, a completely different reality had emerged. This lady didn't have a cat or plants in her house, and she had several kids. Then we did the same thing again, and by the end of that week, we had raised yet again, and we had a second phone call, and this time, the lady was her mother. And whereas she had always, you know, been very adversarial towards me, she sent me her love, the whole thing had changed yet again. Material reality is just that fluid. And the less material realms change far more rapidly than we do. So a race could exist one day and not the next. With material life, it can also be this way. Souls can leave and bodies can function in a soulless state for a time until those bodies die also. Or as a reality, they can simply disappear and memories are changed around them and none even remember they were there.
Wow, that's really amazing news. And I think, just to reiterate something you said before the commercial break, that it's going to be such wonderful news for so many light workers out there to hear that the races who have been abducting humans for self-serving and hostile reasons have disappeared.
Yes, they have. And in 2005, the Infinite Mother of Creation called abducted souls that had been taken to other planets from Earth back into Earth's spirit world. At that time, there were more than 1 million of them, excluding those being abducted but not actually removed permanently from the Earth. So they had taken over 1 million.
Wow. That's something. Well, I mean, I was wondering if you could speak some more about the City of Light that you just mentioned a few moments ago. And that you predicted will become visible at some point. And will start, hopefully, that global government of light that I was referring to earlier.
The sacred one.
Yes, the sacred one.
Well, it's referred to in Revelations as the New Jerusalem. We haven't given it another name. But yes, the masters in my classes have been working with me for many years now to bridge the gap between this reality and that, in which the Most Holy Mother of all creation, with the Holy Father by her side, governs from Earth.
Is it here on Earth? And have you seen it?
Yes, to both questions.
Wow. What will the New Jerusalem or Mother's Palace, I often have heard you refer to it as, be like when it's actually visible? I'm wondering, for example, how it might be organized.
The city is laid out in rings with landscaping in between them, a bit like spokes in a wheel. Mother, father, and their children will inhabit the very center. Around that, there will be their personal assistants, such as the 100,000 angels of the throne and the several hundred lords that Mother has called to perform personal service for herself and her family. In the garden in between these two rings is... This is so beautiful because in the book that we've just had published, The Gift of the Unicorns, it tells the story of where the unicorns have been, why they weren't here before, and how they have come back again. They are absolutely devoted to the mother. And so between the first ring, this core, and the next ring, the unicorns and the Pegasus dwell. The next ring out is the sacred government and those who administer governance in not only to the rest of the planet, but also to the rest of the cosmos. And around this will be very high light workers who have entered very high mastery or the God kingdom, and there will be another ring beyond that for their families. The outer rings cannot move inwards, but the inner rings can go and visit those that are outer.
And how tangible will this city be for everyone? Will it be the center of our planet? And another question that I have is really, when do you foresee this occurring?
The million-dollar question.
Yes.
I'm happy to share my understanding with you, Paul, but the level we achieve by the time of its manifestation, that's really what will largely determine the answer to this. It's said that once the city becomes visible, in an instant, the continents will move together, and then it will indeed be in the center of the continents. Land will not be divided according to nationality, but rather to like frequencies gravitating together. There will be 12 main frequency groups among people on Earth, and within each group there will be a more proactive half and a more receptive half, pulsing as masculine and feminine poles. In other words, if we want to use an analogy, it's like a grapefruit half once the continents move together. The goal is that it becomes visible to all life, and if we have managed to manifest it at a lower level, it would, if we have managed to get it to manifest at a lower level, then of course it will have been visible to all. Will it now be? I don't know. My understanding is that Mother will have palaces in several locations on Earth. The central palace where the government will be have previously been in the Hawaiian Islands, but recently moved to the North American continent. And I really cannot say for sure whether it will stay there or not. If we are patient enough and lay our foundation firmly enough, we should be able to get to a point where we can bridge the realities of this palace with its currently already formed, which is, you know, it's currently already there, and to a very large extent, get it to manifest into our physical reality. So the goal is that we can see it, feel it, touch it, but I'm not entirely sure if it will be tangible to all levels of life. You did ask, actually, about when it will manifest.
Yes, I did.
I really wish that I could tell you that. Many of the masters in the classes that I have, and myself, and you know, because of the level of work we do, people that come into the class usually come in as novices, but they leave as masters. And they, you know, they have seen it. We can feel it, but our hand still moves through the walls. So how long will it take to get it fixed? It moves, because sometimes complexities manifest, and then it will move away. Sometimes, and just recently it did so, it moved to next year, or actually 2009, sorry, to 2009. A while ago it was a 2013. Before that it was like 2032. So I cannot really tell you that, I'm sorry.
Well, that alone is very helpful to know that, that this is something much more fluid and dependent on human actions than often it's made out to be in some of the new age work that's out there.
Yes.
So, and for that sort of explanation, I really want to thank you for helping make these, all the complexities of these things more clear for everyone through sharing your information so freely to the world. It's very inspiring, not just your interviews, but also the amazing information in your books. I definitely spent a lot of time with the book, The Ring of Truth, and I just have to tell you that I really feel when I hear you speaking, that ring of truth in your words, and it fills my heart with gladness and hope.
Well, I think there was a statement to this effect in Little Prince, but it's all things worth knowing must be accessed through the heart. So,
that's very
thank
true.
You.
Let me see here. I don't know if we'll have time to tackle this question for the next commercial break, but I'll ask it anyways, and then perhaps we can go into it afterwards. But I'm wondering, basically, if there'll be a time in which, following on the last question, if even the magical creatures that you often write about in your amazing books, if even those will become visible for everybody.
And the interesting thing is this, that in the first week of November 2007, Mother uncovered the following situation. The cosmos had become, for various reasons, top-heavy. In other words, the unseen, lighter realms were by far more numerous, which, it's the opposite pole of the denser realms, and man is the densest. And this means that the proactivity of the cosmos, the doingness to promote life, was carried by the few in the denser realms on behalf of the many in the upper realms who are more over-polarized into just beingness. So in other words, we are down here on Earth, and a lot of the forging ahead, the breaking barriers of where we've been before, pushing us deeper into unknown and higher levels, it has been falling on man's shoulders. We are at that pivot point, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, because of the fact that we are at the densest levels.
I think most light workers have a sense of that.
Yes, and we've been overworked.
Yes.
And so Mother rectified this by taking 1/7 of all realms and kingdoms and making them physical. This has created a very unique situation in which 1/7 of the fairy realms are, in fact, physical fairies, as of the beginning of November 2007. 1/7 of the dragon realm, the same. They have, of course, their own magic. To create invisibility for themselves, if they need to, they surely can do that. However, those with pure hearts, who previously lacked the ability to see between realms, can now do so. And, you know, people often ask me, for instance, the Aruba Firina book that I wrote with 9 other masters in 1 week. We were given the priceless opportunity of going through the fairy realms. We have photos of it in the book Ring of Truth, and those photos keep changing, incidentally, which, even though it's on a printed page, seems to be in some sort of virtual time. I don't know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fairies that allowed us into their home, they've given us their different languages. They've given us their calendar. They've given us their spells. I took it down exactly as they shared, after eons of exclusivity, their bodies of magic with us. When people have come to me and say, what is the use of giving us their languages? Well, if you want to make friends with someone from a foreign country, you want to know about their life. Friendship means we're involved in another's life. Perhaps you learn little phrases to tell them that you care, or you love them, or you miss them. But it's the same with them. We've given the dragon languages in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The entire Aruba Firina book is the book of fairy magic. You can learn to write their language, learning their names, as we gave it in the Gift of the Unicorns and the Aruba Firina book, for example, and cultivating a relationship with them. Now there's no longer any reason why they would then not reveal themselves, since 1/7 of them are in fact physical.
Wow, that's amazing. So really, it's just like any other relationship. It's about putting some time and energy and care into cultivating it. That's quite something.
Yes.
That almost leads to my next question, because it has to do with, because a lot of people aren't aware that it takes time to cultivate relationships with more subtle beings. And they just assume that it's either a skill that one has or one doesn't. And I've actually been wondering what the significance is of only a few beings being able to recognize the dramatic ascension which is occurring right now, and only a few being able to perceive the results of entering into these very high levels, whereas most people still witness life changing in a very predictable and unmiraculous way.
Well, you know, we should perhaps separate this into A, the explanation for this, and then the issue of significance. But I just want to add in before we go there, Paul, that if people were half as diligent as spreading the good news as they are the bad, the emails that are flying between light workers about all the bad things that are going to happen and so on, if people are half as diligent as spreading the good news, then more indeed will know of it. And the more who know of it, the more easily it will become a reality for us. So the explanation for this, why there's only a few, is that if everyone changes at once, but the media still publishes the old story, how will anyone know that the changes have occurred? See, it gets back to the dissemination of truth. If we find something that has that ring of truth, to share it with others is such a sacred duty because we are the news media of today. We can't rely on what is out there. And if we cling to our belief systems, yet the heart of everyone around us has changed, that too will have the tendency to pull the old sets of circumstances and ways of relating in again. With our belief systems held tightly in place, our ideas of right and wrong, we tend to perpetuate the illusion of our past. I can absolutely not say that today's truth will be tomorrow's truth. That's why we have to see how fluid things are. All I can do is share the highest truth I have each day. But, you know, somebody asked me in one of the symposiums that I gave, I just choose to give one in America and one in Canada each year, but they asked me, what exactly is the point of writing my books when I freely admit that by the time I have finished writing a book, it has virtually become obsolete, except, you know, for the basic principles that underlie reality. And I said, well, firstly, if you understand, I work day by day. I spend hours and hours a day, as you know. I mean, you share my life with me.
Yes, I certainly do.
Paul works many, many times till midnight, starting again in the morning, because what we're doing is not work, it's labor of love. But much of our work is in mother's work. Mm-hmm. And so the point is that working at this level, we're at that cutting edge of knowing exactly what transpires every day as we work with the Book of Life, which is what Mother has us put in, and it's not, it's an etheric book, it's not a physical book, but it is the, mentioned a lot in the New Testament, the Book of Life, but it is the highest wisdom of existence, and whatever is in there becomes reality. So reality changes day by day by day. It has changed since I woke up this morning, which I always have to do extra early so I can catch up with what has happened because other people read newspapers, but I get it from the high beings and from Mother herself as to what has transpired in the night that changed reality. 2 weeks, well, actually it's more like 1 week ago. It's very hard for me to think of linear time. But 1 week ago, something so monumental happened that changed the very fabric of reality. You know, I possibly won't get to publishing it till October of next year because I'm that, you know, backlogged in just writing down the information that is flowing 24 hours, 7 days a week. So what happened a week ago to show you how we are so unaware for the most part of these incredible changes. And this is a good example to say, look how we cannot see changes that take place in people's hearts. Mother, we've been traveling in loops of space. Mother took feminine aspects of herself and put it out there so that we could keep space open, and then we would travel in these loops that sometimes resembled what a cotton ball would look like. When you look through a microscope, then we had to break free from the cotton ball, and then we would travel up a strand, hit another cotton ball, and so on. That has now completely changed. She reabsorbed all her feminine aspects. aspects, space collapsed and time collapsed. Because time is the movement, of awareness through space. Time and space collapsed, and we had only one moment, each moment to live. And the moment she chose is the moment of creation. Each moment, as mother's wisdom increases, we are recreated anew into higher wisdom. And we will let our listeners chew on that one for a bit, because the ramifications of that, they are enormous. We are new each moment to live life differently. You know, miracles are happening around us, but miracles require extreme fluidity to perceive. The significance of this is that the Earth has served as an anchor for a cosmos full of beings who have felt they have been changing actually too rapidly. Because they can perceive every change, and because the cosmos has been synchronized to humanity's time, the density at which man still chooses to live has slowed things down, and it provides an anchor. In other words, we have been dragging anchor, but the ascension has been very rapid, and so it has, in a way, served a purpose.
I see. I hadn't actually thought of it that way before, so that's very helpful. I was wondering, however, if there's not some further significance in that the majority of Mother's creations are not aware of what she's actually going through.
Well, the actual fact is the majority is very aware of it. And the sacred government from Earth is, in fact, already taken full force. It's just the smallest smidgen that isn't.
Oh, of course. I often forget that we are actually the smallest smidgen.
Yes.
Do you have a sense of when the rest of humanity will also stop forgetting this?
Well, you know, that comes back to exactly when that city will manifest with Mother being visible to all life.
Right.
It's very difficult to predict this because of the multiple layers of changes that need to be done on a daily basis to get the huge picture of the cosmos to pivot. My hope is within 4 years, which is around 2011, but, you know, again, as we point out, it could change.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing with us how fluid all these things are. I think that's something that that we all need to constantly keep in mind, so we're not trapped in those previous belief systems that we've all held. And for me, one of those that I'm trying to break free of has to do with this issue in which I often feel that things only really start to come together when I reach my, I guess you could call it my breaking point, or that point in which I feel like I'm just about to give up. And I've just been wondering what it means to constantly becoming more patient, and to be becoming more able to handle more chaos and to put order in that chaos, when it seems that it always requires getting to that maximum threshold before things start to come together or work themselves out. There's kind of this, it's difficult to explain, but there's kind of this feeling like we get our perceptions, or we get things accomplished only in the nick of time. So I guess my question about that is if there's some kind of an illusion there that we need to let go of, or that I need to let go of.
Well, you know, it's very astute of you to notice the pattern that change has been taking. The previous way that a level of order moved to a higher level of order is that in between the layers of order, there was a dissolving of the old pattern. So, let's just put this in other words. A certain set of circumstances would push for change. When the change was about to occur, the old way of being would seem to disintegrate, giving a feeling of chaos. This linear form of change, as we describe in the section called The Anatomy of Change in my book, The Journey to the Heart of God, has been the way of change until July of 2007. And, you know, I've often said that chaos often is just the forming of a higher order. But time, mother may change not linear, but exponential. In other words, instead of transformation, transmutation, transfiguration as the three steps and stages of change, in which transformation was the shedding and the dissolving of the old, it now became change through regeneration. Now, this means that change comes at the exact moment, which addresses the second part of your question. But now, let me just interject here before we go to the second part of your question, Paul. See, that which took place two Saturdays ago, when Mother, which, you know, for folks that hear this recording later on, we're talking about the end of November 2007, where Mother literally has collapsed time and space, she has become, with the Father, a fixed point. They function as a unit, they've become a fixed point. All of creation moves around them in a circle. So it's fluid, they're the fixed point. Now, this couldn't be done previously because the geometry previously made it that you would be moving away from that fixed point, which would tend to be a falling asleep time, and then you would move towards it, which is a time of awakening, hence descension and ascension cycles. Now, it's not there. Mother is the fixed point with Father. They change. The change is broadcast exponentially and immediately through the rest of the cosmos. We are microcosms of the macrocosm. That's how it happens now also for us. We just have to let go and have that fluidity of mind. So this feeling, to now go to the second part of your question, the feeling of getting things done in the nick of time is due to the fact that the normal signs of change, namely the stress of the dissolving of, and of the process as a linear one, they're no longer visible. We simply get what we need to get at the exact right moment. This is really the true definition of in the nick of time. With change being exponential, one minute there's the lower order, and the next minute, great insights and a brand new higher order reveals itself. It makes the usual method of linear mind, projecting when and how change will come, totally obsolete. And also, it gives the feeling of things being out of control. I know that. But the key is to relinquish control and relax into this effortless way of change, which is what we have all been praying for. If the ego mind feels out of control and we cling to the old linear way, it can become very frustrating.
Yes, I certainly relate to that. And fortunately, being blessed to spend so much time with you, Almeen, I've been working on that, and the results are quite astounding. Like you say, you know, once you let go of the old ways, the new ways are there for us to use.
It's been, folks, why I'm sitting here chuckling, it's been wonderful to watch him. He has been on a roller coaster, except the roller coaster has gone straight up. And it's been an amazing process to watch.
I'd like to shift to something a little bit different now. It's a question about dreams. I know that some students of yours, as well as myself, haven't been dreaming at night at certain times. And or at least we don't remember our dreams. And there's also been some concern of feeling very tired during the day, and having more aches and pains in the physical body than usual. So I was wondering if you might be able to tell us what this is about.
Okay, well, let's give ourselves some credit and take a little look in terms of taking stock of what we've accomplished in the last year. And then we won't be surprised that we don't feel totally battered. But, you know, of course we're not, because we're regenerated moment by moment if we let go of the belief systems. So we've successfully gotten rid of the major six perpetrators that have plagued cycles of life for eons. They simply no longer exist. And the magnitude of this accomplishment is a source of gratitude for me every day of my life. Secondly, So in other words, you know, we've been in a war. And this war did not finish till about the end of June 2007. So the Earth's historic and epic journey through space and cycles through the fall have been remembered and given in the gift of the unicorns. And there has been a reemergence of the many lost kingdoms and the gifts they held. So what has happened here is that we have changed. Inside, Mother has metamorphosed the major light workers first, and she has changed us into beings that are ready for the next leap in evolution. We have accomplished so much. Much of that work is done at night. So instead of dreaming, we are working. And yes, we feel tired in the morning, but we can absolutely pat ourselves on the back. We are truly the bringers of the dawn. Now, folks, it has come to the time that we need to say goodbye, and I just want to tell you that our next week's program will be on enlightening practices for truth seekers. That many practices have sustained truth seekers in their quest for consciousness throughout previous ages, but no longer apply. Because of the massive cosmic ascension, there are new practices that might be helpful, and we will be taking a look at this. Thank you so very much for joining us today, and also my thanks to Paul St. John, and Paul, I hope you can join us again next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.